This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
Hey, AfterBuzz TV fans, we will be talking about Surviving R. Kelly for season 2, episodes 2 and 3. We'll be talking about how he uses young girls to bait more young girls, how he uses NDAs to silence his victims, and how he can smell a wounded woman a mile away. So much drama when we return.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, oh my gosh, we are actually on season 2, Surviving R. Kelly, and we have so much to cover because we are actually covering episodes 2 and 3 today. And I am your host. My name is Angel Taylor, and I have this awesome entertainment writer here next to me, Mr. Kenneth Ware. How you doing, Kenneth?
I'm doing well. Could be better, you know, the topic that we're discussing, but glad to be here with you to talk about it, to make sure that these victims are heard.
Yes, absolutely. So what were your overall thoughts about episodes 2 and 3?
Overall, it just felt like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Like, we're rehashing the same things, the stories that have been told for decades. Mm-hmm. Like, these are well-documented allegations and just so many NDAs and just so many things that have happened, and it's very exhausting. However, when I hear those women speak, it's very empowering to know that they're ready to speak their mind, mm-hmm. and that we just have to listen to them, so... It's a lot of mixed emotions with this documentary.
I feel the same way. My overall thoughts were, it's like, finally, like, we're actually getting a voice and they're not afraid to use their voice. And one of them said that we've been talking the whole time. We're just finally getting a frequency. Like, the world is opening up to hear us. And so I felt like this is the platform. Sad to say, you know, it's at the expense of so many different women and how they're handling with this type of trauma. Like, for the rest of their lives, they're going to be known as R. Kelly victims. So at their expense, but it's still, they get to stand on a platform and help out other women who are in the same position, maybe with a celebrity, maybe with a family member, but at least they know that they're not alone. And that's what's important.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, we have just so many juicy things to talk about, from the NDAs, just the way that he was baiting young girls. I mean, there's just so many layers to this story weaved in between his music and everything.
I know.
It's just so many different things that we have to, you know, touch base on.
So let's jump right into it. You kicked it off for us. Let's talk about how he used young women to bait other young women. That opens up with his first victim, Tiffany Hawkins. Tell me what you thought about her testimony and how she gave great detail of how she used, first of all, she got her friends from school, which were also 14 and 15 at the time, to come to R. Kelly's apartment.
Right.
And she ended up experiencing something on an adult level where she's actually sending young girls to have sex with R. Kelly. And she was like, well, as long as it's not me. And then it ended up being her. And then she turns into his sex slave. How did that, like, resonate with you on watching a young, like, to me, when I was watching her, she was a child.
Yes.
She was a grown woman, but she was speaking from the voice and the perspective of a child. How did that make you feel?
I was very disgusted.
Yeah.
I'm a big brother. I respect women. I respect black women very highly. So to hear that somebody that I looked up to as an artist, as a creative kind of inspiration for me, to know that he did all of these devious things, mm-hmm. and to hear the way that he called himself the Pied Piper. And like they said,
what does that mean exactly? I always wonder what that meant. What does Pied Piper mean?
So there's an old like fable tell that this guy, the Pied Piper, he would play like the flute, and mm-hmm. then the children would follow. So,
oh my
god, yeah.
That
so
just came full circle for me just now.
Full circle, wow. And while we're all crunk off the Pied Piper and his music, but that, it's like over the decades, R. Kelly has been telling us what he's been doing.
Yes.
And we're just so in love with the music that mm-hmm. we just can't really see straight. But with what she was saying about how she was bringing her friends, it just makes me think about when you're going out with someone, it's like, oh, you got some friends, or you got
right,
some friends.
Right.
And the fact that he was able to get her other friends, and they were 14 and 15. And
she didn't even really realize what she was doing.
Exactly.
Until she realized what he was doing.
Yes, because she
in
was...
in front of her.
Yes, because she was... like, her whole focus from the documentary was she wanted to be a singer. She wanted
right.
to be a star. She right. wanted to be like Whitney Houston. And she said the first time she sung for him, he... fell out of the chair. And she was like, did I do good? Was it okay?
Always seeking validation. And
yes.
that's why she was able to get so many people to kind of chime in, because there was this promise of stardom, right? And so I can imagine if she felt like she would gain stardom from being connected with him, the other girls were feeling like they will gain some type of recognition for being in his world, in his circle. Having the privilege to go inside of his home.
Yes.
So I can imagine them just having a field day at school, talking about their encounters with R. Kelly, maybe leaving out the terrible detail.
Yes, and just knowing that even as a child, these are high school students, and I go back to my high school years, and if there was a celebrity and my friend said, hey, come over here to this address, so-and-so is here,
we're going to go.
I'm going to make sure that mm-hmm. if it's something my mom might not approve, that okay, well, I'm just gonna say I'm at this friend house,
mm-hmm.
So that I can go over here. But R. Kelly, he just did not have good intentions for those girls, young girls. And it's just like, it just makes you like, what? You're having a party with these 14 and 15 year old girls. And not only that, there are other people that are involved and that are seeing, that see what is happening.
His accomplices.
Yes.
His manager.
Right. And Angela Yee, she hit the nail like right on it when she said like people enabled him. And it's like, when there's 5, 6 or numerous 15-year-old girls coming into your apartment, like, where were the other adults that were there like, hey, like, we know what's going on. Like, come on now.
Right. And then Michelle Williams, when she said Michelle Williams.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead, but he had a hairdresser. And we're going to talk about her in a moment. But his hairdresser said that Miss Lanita Carter was his hairdresser.
Yes.
She was age 24 when she was doing his hair. And she saw Michelle Williams at the studio. And Michelle stopped her and she was like, how old are you? So that just goes to show you how many other celebrities knew what he was doing and knew what he was up to and kept silent. So I'm not trying to throw any shade or shun Michelle Williams, but it's just like, how many other artists were well aware of what R. Kelly was doing? It's crazy.
It was definitely public knowledge, and I think it's safe to say that almost everybody knew about it, because it became a running joke, kind of like when men go to prison,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like, oh, don't drop the soap, and it's kind of like you laugh with it. But you're talking about men that are being abused. And raped,
right.
And the same thing when everybody knew R. Kelly married Aaliyah. It was... the wedding certificate was published in Vibe magazine.
Right.
We saw that. It was real. People in the industry knew that. However, there was a non-disclosure, and then it just kind of went away. And then he gave us I Believe I Can Fly and all of these other
anthems. He found Jesus. Yes. And all of that great stuff. You know, he had multiple personalities, and I believe that.
Yes.
So you mentioned the whole Aaliyah thing.
Yes.
So speaking of living out loud, he titled her album Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. And she was 15 when she married him. So, I mean, you can't get any more blatant than that. Like, that was a very direct punch to everybody that even speculated. Age ain't nothing but a number. And then he goes and marries 15-year-old Aaliyah. And she's not allowed to discuss it or talk about it.
Right.
And then him calling himself the Pied Piper. And then all of these sexually alluding things he has on the album covers and things he says that were implicit, but they were explicit. Yes. So all of these messages he's sending out to the world, and we're receiving them, but we're not receiving them. What is your take on why we didn't do anything then? Like, why are we just now mute R. Kelly?
I think it was more we received the messages.
Mm-hmm.
Most people received the messages, but they blocked them because they were listening to the music as well. So kind of hard to some people to separate the musician from the pedophile. Like, oh, no, well, I still like 12 Play, or I like right. TP2.com. Mm-hmm. That's my album. Right. Or I Believe I Can Fly on Space Jam. Mm-hmm. Like,
Chocolate
oh, he
Factory.
Ain't do that. Or them girls were fast and, you know, all of that stuff. But I think going back to Aaliyah, rest in peace to baby girl.
Yeah.
But even hindsight is 2020. When you go back and look at the album cover, like, he is just in the background. He's kind of in the
lurking,
back,
lurking like a predator.
This
that was that freaked me out. Like, once I heard it and I saw it, I'm like, bruh.
And the
like,
lyrics,
you didn't even try to. Like, he's so out with it.
Yes, and it's he's
arrogant like
his
that.
Music. It was disguised in the music and even in those lyrics. Age ain't nothing but a number. Going down ain't nothing but a thing. Why do you have this 15-year-old girl
going
singing
where?
These lyrics?
You going down?
It ain't nothing but a thing. Like, I mean, just looking back on it, it's very disturbing. And that was kind of the first time where he actually could have been stopped, but because of the non-disclosure agreement, and he was able to continue his career.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely empowered him because right. It's like, oh, y'all can't stop me.
Exactly. It just perpetuated that type yes. of sexual abuse. And speaking of perpetuating sexual abuse, let's talk about Susan Loggins. She was the mastermind of his silent settlements. And it's like, somebody stop her. I mean, that is crazy how she would take these victims mm-hmm. and make them sign their life away. So basically, you're making a deal with the devil by saying, okay, well, if I give you X amount of money, which to me wasn't anything, $250,000, oh my gosh, you'll be done with that in a year and a half. I mean, especially for someone who's not used to having money, your $250,000 is gone in a year and a half. But anyways, I'm just like, you could never make me sell my soul to the devil. I mean, mm-hmm. you're buying my silence and basically making me live with this torment for a dollar, for a price. While this guy goes on to making multiple millions of dollars and perpetuating these acts right. on other victims, and you're seeing this done publicly, and you can't do anything about it. You can't say anything about it. So,
I think that kind of goes back to in a previous episode, they talked about his relationship with a neighbor, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
And where his mom took $5,000, according to one of his brothers, that.
Yeah, for the stylist.
For not to testify when he got out of jail. And that kind of started that. And it also shows that when you don't, $250,000 to some people, that's winning the lottery. That is their, oh, I can do this, I can do that, and mm-hmm. I can get my life together and do just all kind of things that I want to do. And a lot of these girls or women at the time, I mean, you don't really know what their financial situation was, and
they
were threatened, and it's just like,
yeah,
that to most people sounds like a good deal. Most people don't even make $250,000 within 5 to 10 years of them just working a full-time job 40 hours a week.
I hear you.
So if you tell someone, hey, I'll give you $250K, they're not thinking about, okay, well, taxes gonna take this much out and all of this. All they see is $250K, thinking like, this is cold cash.
And then you have to pay Susan Loggins. You got to pay her commission, right?
Susan is getting a check, and I think that's
and she says it's several. And in the fact that she said to Lanita, that your story is not right because you're too old. Mm-hmm. You're 24. You're too old for R. Kelly. What are you talking about? He touched you. What?
Right.
And I was taken aback by that. I was very insulted, and I just could not believe that she was okay with going to bed at night knowing what she knew and actually benefiting from these women's trauma.
And
horrible person, by the way. Let me go on record saying she's a horrible person.
And a lot of people have benefited over the years, which is why it's R. Kelly, and then there's just so many people, as Angela Yee said, that have enabled him, whether it's people in the industry from his record label that wanted to make sure that, okay, well, let's make sure we keep this quiet, so let's give them some money so that we can still put out this next single, because this is going to be a number one single. We want to step in the name of love.
Mm.
So it's just so many people that have enabled him, especially with his team, so many yes people, so many people that have allowed R. Kelly to just do whatever he has wanted to do over the years. And he has paid these people hush money, these non-disclosure agreements. And it's like, once you do that, it's done. You can't speak on it. And he's basically bought silence from his victim. So it's like victimizing them twice.
Right.
And it's just unfortunate. And as it unravels and you just hear these stories of these women and they say, we've been saying this since the 90s. This is 2020. This is nearly 30 years later.
Right.
And we're finally getting to a point where he's going to court. And he's been to court before, but where he finally lost his record deal. Which is like, well, he's had this record deal for the past 20 plus years.
Come on, Drive.
Like, come on now. What's going on? So, and I mean, even the artists that he's worked with over the years, like now a lot of people are chiming in and saying things. But I mean, R. Kelly still pops up on records. He was just on Juicy Booty with Chris Brown and Janae. Like, I mean, that was just a couple years ago. Mm. And I mean, he stays, you know,
he's still relevant.
In the mix.
He's still very relevant. Before we get into our next heavy topic, I believe Kenneth has something to share with you viewers.
Yes, yes. We just wanted to thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Now, for us to continue to grow, we definitely need your help. Make sure you click subscribe on YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, give us a rating of 5 stars. We love those comments. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Absolutely, Kenan. Thank you so much for that. I wanted to touch on this family situation. And
okay.
I mean, talk about enabling. He was expecting his younger brother, Kerry, to enable him by taking the fall for the 14-year-old sex P tape. So, as Jocelyn likes to call it, P tape. So I just wanted to ask you, how did you feel knowing that R. Kelly was willing to throw his own brother under the bus, asking him to take the rap for him instead of the actual perpetrator himself, throwing it off on his brother like, hey, take this from me and I'll get you a car and I'll get you 50K and
right.
I'll get you a record deal. And it's like, bruh, like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, I don't think R. Kelly his whole life seems like it has been constructed on manipulation. And
yes.
Especially with people that are close to him that he claims to love, and not to have the audacity to even ask his brother that, and that's a permanent record. And he was just like, hey, I need to throw somebody under the bus, and what's his go-to?
They don't even look
alike. Let me give him
to
some
me.
Money. Exactly.
Do you think Kerry looks like Robert?
No. I would need to see like side-by-side pictures of the year of this video.
I have side-by-side in my head already, and I'm sorry. Bruce looks more like R. Yeah. Kelly, but not Carrie.
And it, yeah. And it just, I don't know if it could be age or say him being in prison or, you know, I don't know. But I, yeah.
You're talking about Bruce in prison?
Well, yes, Bruce in prison. Well, just saying his brothers in general, like, they possibly could have looked like each other back in the
day. You know what rubbed me the wrong way? Bruce rubbed me the wrong way when he said that these women knew that they were being videotaped. And then he tells a personal account of how R. Kelly videotaped him without his knowledge. So what makes you think your brother can make you fall for the okie doke, set up a camera while you're having sex with someone, unbeknownst to you, and he can't do it for the women? They knew about it. And everyone, it's so funny because they set the shots up to where these women are saying, no, I didn't know. No, he never asked me. No, I did not consent to be videotaped. Like all of these accounts that the women are not consenting to being videotaped or not even having knowledge of it. So what is your take on Bruce's statement?
I would say that Bruce is just as problematic as his brother.
Boom.
And that's just the only way to put it. Like,
number one enabler.
Yes. And
your
it's
big
like,
brother.
Big brother. And they were just in that environment. And it's just like, what? Like, R. Kelly has built this world around him where he is just allowed to do whatever he wants to do. And that includes mistreating women, underage women, having sex with underage girls, having other girls go serve as like waitresses to go pick up other girls and bring back, you know, his desires and feeding his sexual desires and him not really dealing with, I mean, it just all goes back to his childhood and that molestation he dealt with. I know one of his brothers spoke on like they didn't like being molested, but R. Kelly, he got slick mouth with his mom, and you know, it's like though at that young age, from like 8 to 14, I think they said when the sexual abuse happened, it's like he was creating this world, and he knew that he had this beautiful voice that when he opened his mouth, people listened, people loved it. So when you put, okay, now I'm a multi-platinum artist with millions and millions of dollars, and people are doing whatever I want them to do.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know what? I married Aaliyah, but you know what? Everybody still love me. And then she still got her career, so it's all good. We just won't talk about it.
Yeah.
And let's keep it moving.
Straight up.
And it's like, the thing that really kind of was heartbreaking is when they show, like, all these girls from all these years. Like, it went from, like, current to, like, back to 1991 to the first one.
Yeah.
And they did, like, a compilation. You just saw all these photos, and it just...
That's just
each
the first
year.
One that came out. She doesn't know if she was the first one.
Exactly.
Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. Like, he has been doing... Like, I really feel like this sickness has been going on since childhood. Yes. Even though he was a child himself, there's no telling what he was doing when he was 13, 14, 15. And, I mean, it sickens me, actually, to think about it.
It's very heartbreaking to also just know that we all failed, all of these women, all the adults, all the record labels, just everybody. And it just goes back to when he married Aaliyah in the early 90s. Like, that was concrete. That was solid. We knew that happened. We knew that R. Kelly had a problem. However, what do we do about it? Everybody joked about it. Like, it was common knowledge that was joked about on the radio, on television. Celebrities joked about it. Like, everybody knew R. Kelly married Aaliyah. Everybody saw a man that was allegedly R. Kelly urinating on a... Like, these were just jokes that kept going and going and going. And now we're finally talking about it, but we're not laughing.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different story.
Yeah. So... I want to talk about something that was very poignant that Geronda actually spoke up and said. She believes that R. Kelly hates women, and it makes so much sense. He uses the manipulation tactics that he's picked up over the years from Lord knows where, And he allows these women to confide in him. He confides in them. I'll share my abuse story if you share my if you share yours. And then he uses their story against them, like what he did with this hairdresser, Lanita. Mm-hmm. And how when she wouldn't give him, you know, head, he was like, you want me to beat you like your husband did?
Right.
And then she's crying, go fix your face, you know, and then she goes to the restroom. And I think, like, I'm actually going into my most shocking moment, mm-hmm. where she wasn't even aware he ejaculated on her face and his semen had her eyes closed. Like, she couldn't even open her eyes. I was trying to imagine, like, oh my God, I can't even go
that
here
was
right
that
now.
That was definitely a shocking moment.
That was one
moment.
Of those moments that took my breath away, and I needed to pause and get myself together and then finish the recording. I was just like, this happened. This really happened.
And it's a thing that you hear about a lot more with women, especially with these recent allegations in the Me Too movement and mm-hmm. Time's Up, about where a guy would just pull out his penis and start masturbating and would ejaculate. Like, wait, people, like, really do that? Like, that happens?
Actually, like, living here in L.A., coming from Dallas, Texas, I've seen it all. I've literally seen a man take out his penis and not only just pee at the bus stop in public, but jack off while looking at me at the bus stop. So I'm like in a whole car and I'm at a red light and I'm like, okay, this is not happening. Like, so mental illness is real.
Right.
Especially here in LA. This is where it just kind of manifests.
Yeah,
but man,
that was definitely shocking, and I mean that kind of goes to one of my shocking moments. Was with Dame Dash. He was very vocal about his disdain for R. Kelly mm-hmm. and how Aaliyah was open about her relationship with R. Kelly, and right. you know, she was a good-hearted person and right. a good soul, and just was like, you know what, no hard feelings or anything against this man, but I don't want him around him. Keep him away from me.
Right.
And the most shocking thing for me was, well, there were the time period of their relationship, and then you go look at the Fiesta video, the remix video with R. Kelly featuring Jay-Z, and there you have Dame Dash popping bottles, and this is in 2001.
After the incident.
Way
after the incident with Aaliyah.
Right.
And
so
Damon Dash said he even needed therapy for what he knew about what R. Kelly did to Aaliyah. He said he was in therapy for it. So
me, that was shocking, just to know that, okay, you've harbored all these feelings, mm-hmm. these ill feelings toward this man. However, in 2001, you're popping bottles with Jay-Z in the Fiesta remix video. One of R. Kelly's, I mean, top songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so where was that same energy, you know, that you spoke of? And that just really just shows us that how people enabled him. Because yeah. it's like, if when he initially married Aaliyah and it was like, oh, no, like, who, why, nobody's going to talk about this? Like, we're having a whole meeting about his next album, but we're not going to discuss he married a teenager. Okay, that's what's going on here. Like, the fact that nobody spoke up, and mm-hmm. then, like, you have people that are speaking up now, but it's like, what were you doing back then? It's like, oh, damn, you were popping bottles in the Fiesta remix video. So, I mean, it's just very unfortunate.
So you think he's a hypocrite and not very sincere in his true feelings for R. Kelly?
I wouldn't say that he's a hypocrite. He definitely... I feel like he feels that way.
But I support you so much that I'm going to appear in your video.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know what the it would be nice to know what were the circumstances
behind his appearance.
That was the time when every video from Big Pimpin' and every other video with Jay-Z, Dame Dash was there shirtless with the bottles. It mm-hmm. became just a thing.
Yeah.
However, it's just like, you knew what song this was.
Right.
And at the time, you were dating Aaliyah. So was it a thing like, okay, well, I'm going to go shoot this video and be in this video because it's going to probably be a top single. You know, more like business. And it seems like
he wanted the notoriety of, you know, just having that appearance. In the video.
It could be. It was a thing like where back then Dame Dash was kind of like the Diddy with Bad Boy, like all up in the videos and everything. So like Dame Dash, like it was just known that usually if it's a Jay-Z video, Dame Dash going to be right next to him with the girls and popping bottles. So
let's talk about R. Kelly's hate for women. I wanted to backpedal on that. Let's talk about the history and how that informs us of how he may really feel about women. He said, Geronda said that he opened up to her and said that his mother did not protect him. Mm-hmm. And I can only think that by that, she was maybe talking about the sister sexually abusing R. Kelly. And Mr. Henry taking the hush money from Mr. Henry. Mm-hmm. So all of this is informing us as to why or how he could have turned into the monster that he is today. So what are your feelings about him hating women?
I would say that's just so complicated. That is a complicated relationship because R. Kelly has like these, seems like dual personalities, which is definitely expressed in his music where he can speak so... like the song Sadie, where he talks about the love for his mother, where he can just really...
Or that song, I Love the Word Woman.
Yes.
He lifts us up.
Yes.
And that's why that is my song.
I think that's from Chocolate Factory album. It is.
That's my album.
Exactly. See, that's...
guys. I just had a moment, but mute R. Kelly.
But no, definitely, like, that is... Like, he has these dual personalities, and it's just kind of like a Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. Like, just really... He can speak so beautifully about a woman, and then he can talk about how he's pained a woman. Mm-hmm. Then he can go sing about his love for Jesus and for God. And it just really takes me back to that TP2.com album where, I mean, it was just sexually explicit from beginning to fill in on your booty. Then after that, it's the storm is over now.
Yeah.
And it's just like when you just go back and revisit his music and listen to those lyrics, it's just like, wow, things are like, he was really expressing himself. Like
his duality.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, guys, let's get into news and gossip with Mr. Kenneth Ware.
Yes, we are going to get into news and gossip. All right, so according to TMZ, now we had a fight on Instagram Live.
Yes, last week, honey.
And this is like the never-ending story, like... When there was the Gayle King interview and he blew up, you were just like watching it like, what in disbelief? Now, the same two women who were supporting him, they're fighting on Instagram Live. Miss Jocelyn, her mugshot, we might have that mugshot.
Right there.
She had that fight with Ezra Clay. Mm-hmm. Now, Miss Clay claimed on the Instagram Live that Jocelyn had sex with her while she was still a minor.
Underage, yes.
And as soon as she said that, Jocelyn just let loose. So
it's actually Joycelyn.
Joycelyn. Mm-hmm. Yes, Joycelyn. So that is according to TMZ. This happened in the Trump Tower in downtown Chicago in R. Kelly's apartment.
Yes. I thought...
Did you see the fight?
I saw a snippet of the live, and I definitely thought she was moving out. So, yeah. And then Joycelyn is calling Azriel evil, and it's like, how is she evil when she's telling her truth? So that just kind of shows you how manipulated and how, like, wrong their frame of thought is. When they're in love with him, they're fighting tooth and nail.
It's very cult-like. Like, I mean, R. Kelly has created this cult over the years where he has these women that will do or say anything and distance themselves from their family, cut off communication. And, I mean, anything like that is just like, nah, this is a whole cult. And it's like, Miss Clay, she is breaking away from that. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to see if she will pursue charges against Joycelyn regarding the sexual acts that she said happened when she was a minor, and also if she will speak on her truth, because if so, she's been lying the whole time. Well, so now it's like, are you going? Yeah. So
that's kind of that's a part of the R. Kelly package.
It is. Mm-hmm. When you sign up for the deluxe package, probably comes with the STD.
Oh yes, well. Honey.
But yeah. When you sign up for that R. Kelly package,
you can't necessarily get rid of.
You get an album. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get some love songs, mm-hmm. And according to the victims,
you're gonna get a room in mm-hmm. his apartment, penthouse, yes. home. And then you're going to get what? Scooted and booted. As soon as you start saying no to him, you get scooted and booted.
And that's what it seemed like. As soon as Ms. Clay said that she was going to say no and was done with it, Joycelyn was like, oh no, you're not about to mess up what I got going mm-hmm. on. And that's just how it felt. And it'll just be interesting to see how this plays out and yes. with these women. Because, I mean, these are victims. Joycelyn is still a victim. And just to see that, how she reacted to it, and it just was so violent to her. Like, as soon as she said, like, and you did this to me, and it was just like, ugh, like a yes. switch went off. And it's yes. just like, you usually see that from your abuser.
Geronda said that that's how R. Kelly was, and so right. did Asante. Like, there's a switch. He's nice. He wants to take mm-hmm. care of you. And then as soon as you stop dancing to the beat of his drum, he turns on you, and he becomes physically abusive, which I didn't realize he was, like, also physically abusive on top of being sexually abusive. So that's crazy. So many heavy topics, and we could literally talk about this all night long, but we have ran out of time, guys. We're going to give you our predictions right now. Kenneth, what do you think will be going on for the next couple of episodes?
That is just going to be more revelations, things that we knew. Mm-hmm. But just putting faces with these names and these voices.
Absolutely. I feel like there will be more victims. There will be more details that I cannot deal with. And there will be more poignant moments as to how this animal came to be. So, yeah, those are my predictions. And we got so much lined up. We will be giving you the scoop in the next couple of days on episodes 4 and 5. And until then, I have been your host, Angel Taylor. You can find me on Instagram at AngelTaylor_. Where can we find you, Kenneth?
I am Kenneth Ware, and you can find me on all social media platforms under Kenneth Ware.
All right, guys, we have covered Surviving R. Kelly episodes 2 and 3. We'll see you later. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.